Our second scripture for today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And these are also the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I gave us the title of security for today. And as I speak, I want to speak to how we wrap ourselves around what that means in our lives. Security, in its most basic definition, is safety. Now, when I was a teenager coming into a time when there might be a dating relationship with a young man, and people would be talking about the difference between boys and girls, it was a phrase that was going around that girls just want security. And I wasn't quite sure whether that was supposed to be something good, but the way it was said, it didn't sound like it was in favor. Among those who would say it. Girls just want security, just want to be safe. Well, now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Made me wonder this week about what goes into, for example, something simple like learning to ride a bike. And for a 7-year-old safety, there is a rather long list of things that we might provide or instruct or watch out for in order to make sure that that 7-year-old is safe on their bike. There's the instruction to wear a helmet, to stay on the sidewalk or ride in a bike path, to not cross at the intersections if they're too young to be doing that. There's always that safety check that a bike is given, and it is a good thing to do to make sure that the tires have enough air in them and that the chain is in good condition so that there aren't accidents because of those kinds of things. We might add to the helmet knee pads or training wheels, depending on whether those were necessary. A variety of things. Don't go too fast. Watch out for other people. Stay out of the way. A lot of different things that we might say to them for their safety, but not only for theirs, for the sake of anybody that might come in contact with them as they are riding their bicycles. And that doesn't get lessened as we continue to go through life. So we tend to approach much of what we do with a desire not to have a negative outcome. Problem with that is that outcomes don't belong to us. Outcomes belong to God. The very best of our efforts are not going to accomplish with any degree of certainty an outcome that we have in our minds. There are too many variables, too many other influences, too many differences between people, even children and adults. The whole personality can be quite different. And interpretations will be different. We cannot control those outcomes. And for what it's worth, you know, the thoughts of human beings are far below the thoughts of God. The ways of human beings are far below the ways of God. And we simply do not know enough to plan toward what that outcome that will happen may mean when it actually gets here. So it may be quite different for that reason from what we might have visioned and acted toward. So in the midst of all of this, how do we even think that we can keep safety going so that we have security going about the things of life? And yet we all take measures in order to be safe. Back in Jesus' day, there were a lot of different groups. We hear about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes in the Gospels, three primary groups of Jewish people in the New Testament. And each one had their own role that they played. But the Pharisees were an interesting group. They were the group that the common people were most connected with. And they promised in the direction and guidance that they give that we could be safe about our salvation because they interpreted the law and they interpreted it to the letter of the law. When we study into this time period, we look at this kind of behavior and we think, well, that was legalistic. Why was it legalistic? Well, because it was based on the Jewish law. But it was legalistic. And the reason that it was part of what people were experiencing in their faith was for safety, was for a security. And Jesus came and knocked them off that pedestal. He urged them to see that the will of God was something different. Not necessarily different from what they already believed, but differently applied. And that they needed to concern themselves more with what God's will truly was than with letter of the law obedience to something that was of men for men. Because God had written that in the beginning by way of inspiration for Moses for a time period that they were going through for their sake, because they were going to come into a land that they didn't know the people, they didn't know the culture, they didn't know what things they were going to have to watch out for and what things that would be fine for them to welcome. They needed to be a distinct people because they were intended to be a blessing to the nations. And they needed to be a people that would call attention to themselves because of the name of God. Well, you know, we still find sometimes that people that we know and love will have some legalism about them. And it's for much the same reason. We worry about our salvation, truly taking hold of salvation and recognizing the gift of God in it and the things that we can rely on, that God forgives us our sins, that when we carry to God the things that we have need of, including forgiveness or even the presence of the Holy Spirit, God is faithful in responding to us because God loves us. That there is one unforgivable sin, and generally that has been interpreted to mean a rejection of the gift that is ours in Jesus Christ. A knowledge, a knowing rejection of the gift that is ours. That salvation that we have through Christ. Can't forgive what somebody chooses to be what is theirs. It just is. And consequences will flow from that. But we have a tendency to worry about our salvation. And why shouldn't we? You know, salvation is a huge, complicated thing to think about. How do we balance the love your neighbor as yourself with the fact that people are thoughtless in their sinning? So, as a result, we tend to come to things like free giveaways or something like that. And we worry about who's going to receive those things from the free giveaway and whether they ought and whether they are holding back from somebody who perhaps needs it more. Fairly common. And we will have our own attitudes, and I'm not going to bring any judgments against that, because to some degree that there are validities. People will manipulate systems. They simply will. And it's greedy. But how do we identify? How do we even identify when that happens? And more importantly, that is an effort to control outcomes, and I don't really have the privilege of judging that other person that I might not like what they're doing. But God will. And furthermore, God will provide for whoever is left out of the blessings that are taken up by someone else. And then we come to the situation where, for example, we have this reality that in this country, the poorest person among us is wealthier than people who are languishing in other parts of the world. How do we carry that kind of understanding for their sake? So it's not even an easy thing to look at. So even though security and safety is a good thing to desire, we need to really understand the source of that safety and security that is ours. And the worst decision that we can make, and people make it all the time, is that safety and security is all from their own makeup, from our own thoughts, from our own will, from our own choices about what we will and will not do, that is where safety and security will come from. Because as bad as other people may be in their judgments, you're human. And we make a lot of mistakes. And we are not at the end of our maturing. We are not until we've gone to heaven, we don't even begin to come close to the full maturity of being what God created us to be. So we simply do not have what would be necessary in order to make lifelong good decisions based on what we have within us. It's not there. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to this earth as a variety of different gifts to us. The first of those was that he was just like us. He was born as a dependent infant, dependent on people who did not have the potential that he did, who certainly were not perfect, anything but. We honor and we treasure the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Mary was not a perfect mother. She was a human mother. And she gave to Jesus what he needed to learn about human mothers as he lived with a human mother. Same thing with his father. Certainly, Joseph was an adopted father for this situation. But Joseph, and we barely celebrate him, Joseph was not a perfect father. And so Jesus turned to God, the Father in heaven, his Father that had placed him upon this earth, that he might learn what it meant to be simply human, simply lacking in foreknowledge, lacking in power, lacking in the ability to be in all places at all times, lacking in all of these amazing things that are part of Godhood, and to just be like us, to know what it meant to be us, to be tempted, to come to the brink of doing things because, well, for one thing, the Bible says this. For example, the angels will keep you from striking your foot against a stone. Throw yourself off. Why not? Or you will have power and possession over all of these nations. Well, why not then worship me? So that the world is hostile against God and God's presence in our midst. And it is a challenge to walk faithful to God's will in our lives. And yet, we are called to do that, even in the midst of our humanness and our fallibility and the likelihood that we will make mistakes, and to depend on the forgiveness of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take us to the next step in our walk with him. And God will do it. God will do it. We are in a very dangerous world, and it's a more dangerous world today than it was some 50 to 70 years ago. And yet this time period that we are in, my friends, developed out of that time period. A time period when the goodness of the world that we were living in dropped us into some complacency, perhaps. Made us think that we could dwell forever and ever in that security and safety of how good things were. And people were good. And they did do the right things. And church was predominant in our culture. And then we come to now, when generation after generation after generation has fallen away from what the church was before, parent after parent after parent, and are lost. Because this is beautiful, and we are grateful that we have it. It's a home to us. And yet this is not the church. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. And we may be called, even as we are called right now, into things that don't feel good and that rub edges the wrong way, where we are experiencing some roughness from our environment and we have to struggle with many things. And yet God is in it. I trust and I believe with all of my heart that God is in it. And that we, as people who love the Lord, must place our trust in God and the Holy Spirit that leads us. Make the best decisions that we can make with an awareness that it's possible we went the wrong way. And to also trust that God will guide us out and into the path that God desires for us to walk. As we live faithful to building our relationship with the Lord, keeping ourselves free from sin as much as we can by managing our behavior, but even more by recognizing that God loves us in spite of it and turning from the things we've done in the past to God for the things that we will do in the future. Paul says, "This I do. I leave the past," and I'm paraphrasing, "I leave the past in the past and I press on to the future." So that our eyes are not on things that cause us to live in the past, and we don't lose what God is bringing us into for the sake of the future that God will lay before us. For he knows the plans he has for us, plans for a future and a hope, and not to harm you, as the prophet says. Security. I like security. I like that sense of feeling like it's going to be okay and I have, you know, solid ground underneath my feet that I can decide to do something and walk forward in. I like that. We all do like that. But there's a better judge of what that should be than me. And I know it very well. Praise the Lord. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Keep your prayer life strong. Reflect on his will and his love. And carry with you whatever's in your heart and plant it at the base of God's throne, casting your cares upon him, being willing and available to him for the path that will come before you, and faithful to walk in it to the best of your ability. And God will see you through for the future that we cannot see with any clarity. It's one of those invisible things, even as he himself is, that God will carry us to, and eventually, in God's good time, into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen.